Terry Savage, the Money Lady, the nationally syndicated financial columnist, the author of Social Security Horror Stories. You find her help at terrysavage.com. We're midweek in a pretty good run, and the market isn't giving back all of its gains. We're near record highs. Terry, I just mentioned that here we are midweek, and the market isn't giving back a lot of the gains that it has enjoyed. We aren't beyond, but we are near record highs. The markets are doing pretty well.
So why is everybody so depressed?
You know, can I say something about that? There was another story out this week, and it was that Americans are convinced that we are not only having bad economic times, but that a lot of people think we're in a recession. And I don't know whose job it is to fix America's minds about that. Maybe it's the administration's, maybe it's the media's, maybe it's yours, maybe it's nobody's. If people want to think times suck, they get to do that. But the numbers don't bear that out, not on a macro level at all.
Well, eventually, the people who think we're in a recession will be right, because eventually we will have a recession. And right now, we might be seeing a few signs of a slowdown. But, you know, Target reported poorer sales than expected, home sales today, gee, not up to what everybody had expected, partly mortgage rates, but there's now supply coming on. And so the question is, why do people right now think we're in a recession? Maybe it's because of politics. Maybe it's because the last recession we had in 2007, 2008 is a long way away, and people don't remember what a real recession feels like. Right now, we have the lowest unemployment in 50 years. We have inflation down from over 9% the year. Boy, there's a lot of political stuff around that. Biden says, I brought inflation down. It had started to roll in 2021. It was 2022 that it was 9%, but it's down to around 3.5%. The economy is growing. A recession is two consecutive quarters
right.
of negative growth.
Yes.
But we've been having quarter after quarter of at least 3% economic growth, and the stock market's at an all-time high. So tell me why anybody thinks this is so bad.
I think...
And politics aside for a moment, let's just have a reality check. If you think this is bad, wait till you see what the next recession, which will eventually come, wait till you see what that brings.
I think we're using the wrong word, too. I think we use recession as, well, I don't like my economic situation. Or politically, I think that the president's doing a bad job. Therefore, it's a recession. It's the R word, but it has a definition, and we don't meet that definition. So that's one thing. I know that. Yeah. So when you ask people, do you think we're in a recession? The problem is they don't even know what a recession means. But what they're telling you is, I'm not happy with my personal financial situation right now. I think that's the...
Yes, and consumer confidence, that's a report that comes out every month, has been down month after month while consumers keep spending and putting it on their credit cards or that, you know, buy now, pay later thing. So I do believe that coming up upon us at some point is going to be a day of reckoning for all the money printing, all the federal deficits, both political parties, all the money creation that the Fed has done. It has stopped so aggressively sucking money out of the economy, trying to be neutral. You think rates are high? If you had massive inflation, rates would be much higher. And I think there will be a point where people will get a lesson in what a recession really is. This is not a recession.
55%, according to a recent Harris poll, believe. 55% believe the economy is shrinking. 56% think the U.S. has experienced a recession, though the broadest measure of the economy, gross domestic product, has been growing. You just mentioned that. Listen to this. 49% of Americans believe the S&P 500 stock market index is down for the year, though it went up about
12%, John.
12% this year and 24% last year. You want to be in the S&P. Half of Americans think we're down for the year. 49% believe that unemployment is at a 50-year high. 49% of Americans believe that unemployment is at a 50-year high, though the unemployment rate has been...
It's a 50-year low.
It's a 50-year low. So they're close, except for that last part.
John, who is this? Who
Harris
did they
poll.
Survey? What rock were they living under?
Well, that's the Harris poll.
Or were they on, just think about this. Let's call the last ugly time. The really last ugly time was 2007, 2008, yep. 2009. Yep. So give it 15 years. And so let's say you got out of college and first started noticing the economy 15 years ago. You were maybe 22, 23. So you're maybe 40 now. So anyone under 40 has not seen how tough an economy can be. And I'm hearing people out there, I hear you all when I talk with you. And I know you're remembering. I know there are a bunch of people saying, you think that was bad?
Yeah.
What was 1980, 82 like when all the factories shut down and the unemployment was double digits and so forth? People under 40 have not seen, quote, tough times. They've had problems buying a house. They still have huge student loans. I'm not saying that they haven't had a tough economic challenges, but they do not know what a recession looks like.
Terry, I've got some questions from our listeners. Are you ready to roll on that?
I am. And then we should talk about the student loan news today, because there's, as I wrote and Ray Kaplan, I know, has been on the show, we've been talking about, there's an extension of the opportunity to do this one-time consolidation and save a fortune on your student loans. You probably had Ray on discussing this, but I don't think we could say it enough. So to anyone out there who knows someone who still has student loans, do not fool yourself that you probably won't qualify. You need to try. Just last week, and I posted a column at terrysavage.com, they extended this opportunity till June 30th. It's astounding. It was supposed to end 2 weeks ago. So the news today, there was a big announcement. Let me just take this for a second, John. The news is now that they have, the Biden administration has now canceled about $167 billion in student loans for nearly 5 million borrowers, about 35,000 on average. Set aside what you think about whether this should happen. Set aside how it was done. Yeah. At first, when he went into office, he just wanted to wipe out student loan debt. Oh, there was a Supreme Court challenge. You can't just do that. So what he did was take some of the programs that either hadn't been working or had been working but were very limited and expanded the income base for them. And that's how we've gotten here. A lot of it has been the public service loan forgiveness plan that's been in effect for, oh my, maybe 20 years that I've written about it. But all those lenders never qualified people, never told them how to report that their income was from a public service job. Now this administration went back and said, all of those years that you worked as a fireman or a nurse or whatever else it was, those will all count. So as the total $5 billion is in that public service loan adjustments. But a lot of it is just for people who've been paying for years. And then the third round of it, which they hope to get through, was if you owe more in interest than the original amount you borrowed, which has happened to so many people who've been paying high rate interest for 15 or 20 years, they're going to get around, they hope, to forgiving that. So I know a lot of people are saying, wait, I paid my for my kids' college education, or I paid off my loans. What's this all about? This is all about the fact that the student loan bureaucracy has not followed its own rules, still having problems for people trying to deal with the loan servicers. And it's about time someone paid attention, in my opinion.
Yeah, we did talk to Ray a little bit about that. I'm glad you brought it up again, though. Don't think that you have no recourse. Many of you do. And there's not a couple of weeks that go by that Ray doesn't send me a letter from the MOHELA or one of these servicing agencies, and it's to the person who had the money. And it's like, we've reviewed your thing, and we have forgiven $160,000 in student loans, or $39,000. You now owe zero. I mean, those are real letters that go out. So it's amazing.
Ray told me, you know, Ray and I have become friends over the last few years just over this issue. She's got the right heart, and she's working so hard on this. Do you know that her clients have received $19 million in student loan forgiveness? The people that she's guided through the process. You can do it yourself.
I can't.
Read the column that I just posted at terrysavage.com to find out how. But seriously, this is something anybody you know with a student loan, please consider the fact that you might be eligible for one of the multiple ways, but you have to act quickly.
And you don't have to use Ray Kaplan. She's a regular guest here. She's a sponsor so we know her. But if you do, it's at the Ray Kaplan Law Firm in Chicago. Okay, I want to ask you about this. John, some reactions from what you said earlier about the economy and the recession. People think it's a recession, you guys, because of the inflation that affects everybody that goes to the grocery store. And this listener said the issue with the jobs out there is what jobs are being created. My college-educated child does not want to work at Starbucks or a fast food place. You have a reaction to either of those, Terry?
Yes. I'm glad I'm sitting in front of my computer. Both inflation and wage growth have fluctuated, but right now, as of January 2024, wage growth was 4.5%, and the CPI was up 3.4%. So it has taken a while, but finally, wage increases are outpacing inflation. Look, I know it. I'll tell you a story. I drove through a drive-thru over the weekend, I guess, and I really, this was not being about penny pinching. I just didn't want to eat a lot. So I said, I want a single hamburger, a cheeseburger,
okay,
a single cheeseburger, yeah, and no onions and no pickles, and a small Coke. Fries with, no fries.
$27.
It was $7.01. And I went, wait, it's just that I want a single cheeseburger, not a double. $7. Yeah. So I get it. I see it just like each and every one of you. It depends on what you buy regularly or maybe what you haven't bought in a long time, like a single cheeseburger in a drive-thru. And it's shocking. It is indeed. I'm constantly saying, gosh, I remember when a cup of coffee was, you know, a quarter at the office. You know, you just put a quarter in the pot, you know, bowl there. I drove by Starbucks this morning and said, I don't think I need a $5 coffee. I'll head home.
Interesting text messages to the show. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN with Terry Savage from terrysavage.com. That's her website, the nationally syndicated financial columnist. Okay, Terry, ready for some questions?
Yes, let's do that.
Hey, Terry, I've got a 700,000. I have a $700,000 to pay on my mortgage. 2.5%, 15-year fixed. However, the mortgage company requires homeowner's insurance. My insurance premium is $40,000. Should I pay off the mortgage and self-insure or keep the mortgage? Thank you.
Oh, I'm just about to write a column on homeowner's insurance. I've been just collecting all the research. It is astounding. The first time an insurance agent told me not long ago that she has people who've decided it's too expensive to insure, I was shocked, and then I started looking into the numbers. However, you have a gift. You are borrowing a fortune at 2.5%. Do not do the bank the favor of paying off that loan. Keep your mortgage, keep your property insurance. You're a winner both ways. You're borrowing at a very low rate, and just in case one of these storms like we had last night turns into something serious, you have homeowner's insurance. Call me in 15 years when your mortgage is paid off, and then make that decision.
708 says, what's the best institution for obtaining a student loan?
Well, first of all, in order to, this is a big topic, go to studentaid.gov. And if you have a high school or a sophomore or a junior, this is the time to look into it. You start with federal student loans because even if you don't qualify based on income, you can get unsubsidized loans. It's not a ton of money, but you start your search with federal student loans. After that, you can choose parent plus loans or private student loans. This is a huge topic. Studentaid.gov is the place to start.
Is now a good time to put money into the S&P 500 index, or do you think, looking into your crystal ball, that we should go more conservative? We are looking at retiring in 8 to 10 years.
Well, you're looking at retiring in 8 to 10 years. However, you're going to be in retirement in 20, 25 years. There's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in a diversified portfolio like the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested. Even adjusted for inflation, there's been no 20-year losing period. So you need a portion of your money invested in the stock market in a diversified way. Timing is tough. I don't know any old market timers, but a lot of wealthy old long-term investors I sure do know. So I don't think you want to chicken out now. I think there will be a time when you'll be scared. The market will be down, as it happens from time to time, 20, 25, 30%. But as long as you're still contributing, you still want to have at least a portion in the S&P 500.
8, 10, 10 years sounds like a long time to me, but I do understand that feeling that I just missed a chance to make a lot of money. That is, if you weren't putting money in the last year and a half.
Exactly, but hindsight's 20/20, John.
Hey, Terry, I think the feeling with many middle class and lower consumers is that since the pandemic, everyone is scared and waiting for the other shoe to drop, and that is contributing to the bad feeling with regard to the economy. There's probably some truth to that, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. That was a shock. America felt tremendously vulnerable in ways we'd never thought about before, and those fears linger on. But the stock market has almost doubled since its lows of the pandemic.
Hey, Terry, kids want to buy a house. All cash offers get every house way over asking. If you need a mortgage, then you are out of luck these days. Are you hearing that too, Terry?
No, I'm hearing that if you are pre-approved for a mortgage and for a certain price home, then your bid is as good as almost as good as anybody with all cash. But the key is having a written pre-approval so you can submit a bid with confidence.
I do hear stories, though, about the house went on the market for $321,000 in Joliet, and they had 67 offers, and they sold it for $375,000.
Oh, sure, it's still happening. But I'm just doing a quick research about the percentage
of all cash offers. If you were selling your house and somebody was pre-approved or they had cash, they could write you a check, you might go with the cash. Cash is king, right?
As of January 2024, all cash buyers now stand at 32% of home sales.
Wow.
The last time the share of all cash buyers was this high was in June of 2014. So, if you can walk in with an all cash offer, absolutely. Oh, I just read another interesting statistic for something else I was doing. 40% of first time home buyers are using the bank of mom and dad.
Yeah, that happens. Hey, Terry, is it a good move to buy annuities with a Roth IRA account?
No. Why would you do that?
I'm just reading the question, Terry.
Yeah.
Is it a good idea to buy annuities with a Roth IRA?
Wait, first of all, you have money growing tax-free. So there's no annuity incentive except somebody telling you that they've got a special bonus offer of interest rates. Don't do that with your Roth, and be very careful about doing that with even your traditional IRA. Because, as I was just discussing with Stan, the annuity man, yesterday, and I've been hearing some in commercials that are so enticing about put your money into an annuity, and you get the, even in a market downturn of 30%, you won't lose, and you get the upside of a participation in the stock market. I said, Stan, I sat on the phone with him, and I said, listen, this sounds, am I missing something again? I know. He said, Terry, you're absolutely right. Number one, you're not getting the full upside of the stock market. Some of these are marked point to point, and it's an anniversary valuation each year, and you may not get any upside, even though the market has gone up in the interim. There are a million ways they catch you. Taking the money out, there are a million, maybe I have to rewrite this column again. I do not believe in buying equity index linked annuities for your retirement money. If you want to buy an annuity inside because it's like a CD your annuity, it's a multi-year guaranteed fixed rate, you could do that. But these equity linked indexed annuities are a million ways to make you think you're going to get all the upside, none of the downside. And in return, you typically get very little of the upside. And the annuity company and the salesperson gets a lot for their retirement fund, their own.
312-981-7200. You've got a question for Terry? We pick up the phone lines. Bill, I'll start with you. Larry, stay there. You can get in the queue as well. We've got lots of text messages. We've also got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A Chicago advertising agency is laying off 9% of its staff after losing a big account. AdAge reports FCB Chicago is cutting staff after losing the Pfizer account. The agency's local office employs 800 people. The 9% cut would be 72 employees. FSB Chicago's client list also includes Clorox, Kimberly-Clark, and Cox Communication. Pfizer moved its creative work to the Publicis Group. The French ad agency worked on Pfizer's 2024 Super Bowl commercial, showcasing the company's 175-years-long commitment to science. As Ascension Health System deals with an ongoing cyber attack, Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago says it's no longer addressing its own cybersecurity matter. The hospital posted a message on its website saying it's reactivated patient communication platforms 4 months after the attack. The hospital's MyChart service is still missing some information, but available services include online scheduling, provider messaging, medication refill requests, and bill pay. An investigation into the cyber attack is ongoing and involves the FBI. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
The Business of Food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And I've got a story about Kay.
She's just over a year old, about a year and a half.
Yeah, still in diapers and just barely able to walk in human years. But Kay is
a purebred border collie, and she's the best farm dog we could have hoped for.
Indeed. Kay has been named the Illinois Farm Dog of the Year. More about her and where she got her name after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. You know, I'm old enough to remember when dogs had dog names like Spot and Fido and Lassie. These days we have dogs named Kevin and Scarlett and Emma. And Kay.
She is actually named after Dalton's grandmother. And he goes, you know, everyone called my grandma Kay, and I'd really love to call my dog Kay. So K-A-Y, it's the perfect name. It's short, it's sweet, and I don't think there's anything that fits her better.
That's Devin Bowman. She and her boyfriend Dalton Johnston raise shorthorn cattle west of Springfield. And when Prairie Farmer magazine sponsored its Farm Dog of the Year contest last winter,
we took some pictures of the at the farm. Kay was out there helping us work cows. She works cattle better than, you know, most older dogs I've seen. And she easily replaces one or two people out there to help work cows. And luckily enough, Kay got the most votes.
Did she get a prize?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We get a little cash prize, and that is going to go straight to extra food and treats and maybe a couple deer antlers if we can round them up for her.
Deer antlers?
Yeah, it's really great for their teeth, and they're nice because they don't splinter.
Huh, okay. Is motherhood in Kay's future?
You know, you get great ones like this not too often, so if you can replicate them, you can, and we sure would love to have a whole bunch more Kays running around, and we know quite a few people who they themselves have been like, man, I wish I had a dog just like Kay. So we're going to see if we can get some puppies out of her, for sure.
Well, good luck with that. And if there's a male in the litter, may I suggest the name Steve? Hello? The line must have cut off. On the food calendar, today's National Vanilla Pudding Day. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
By the way, Terry, we were talking a little bit ago about a recession and why some people feel we are in one. And among the messages that have come in, health insurance is sky high, and now drugs covered under insurance are about $300 a month. Terry should know that's why we think we're in a recession. Another listener at 630 said everything is so damn expensive. And 815 said it's hard to put politics aside when people think we are in a recession because of a news network and presidential candidate who keeps pushing that on a daily basis, and it is working. And one more note here, Terry. One of our listeners had a question about their hold on a second. I want to get to the page. John, this is for Terry. I will turn 70 this month, and I'm currently working. I know that Social Security reaches the maximum amount at 70, but can I start collecting this year even though I am still working? What's the answer to that?
Oh, yes, absolutely, and there is no penalty. And absolutely, you get what's yours. Sign up for Social Security, and check into Medicare at this point. If you're still covered by your employer and it's comparable and your employer has more than 20 employees, then you don't have to sign up for Part B. But double check with your HR department. But by all means, this is it, the max. Start collecting the month after your birthday.
Both sources of income will be counted as regular income.
They'll all be
income.
Added together as ordinary income.
Ordinary income.
And a portion, up to 85% of your Social Security check, may be taxable, but taxable at whatever your rate is. So yeah, you'll pay, I know it's weird, but you'll pay taxes on your Social Security, but still it's better to have most of it than none at all. So yes.
Bill, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. Hi, Bill.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question for your guest is what her opinion about a more secure way to pay, either credit cards or peer-to-peer payment methods like Zelle and PayPal. I've read that that peer-to-peer is more secure because it uses tokenization, and I've also read that credit cards are still better because in case of a fraudulent charge, there are disputation rights. You can dispute with a credit card company that you can't with a peer-to-peer company.
Well, you can write my next column, Bill. Yes, with a credit card, you get some buyer protection that you might not get. I use Zelle, I've used Venmo, I've used PayPal, and I use credit cards and wire transfers. So each has its own purpose. When your money is out of your account at Zelle or PayPal, it's gone. So you want to make sure that you're not scammed. And in fact, if you use Zelle through your bank, they're going to say, do you know this person? This is the first time you've paid this person. Are you really sure? So absolutely. But these are the convenient ways. I've said before, I remember when a helicopter landed on LaSalle Street bringing canceled checks to the Federal Reserve Bank to be cleared.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. Now it's instantaneous. So yes, and aside, a credit card can also give you points or whatever you're collecting and rewards. But this morning, for example, I had a choice of the cost was $400. I went to get my credit card out to pay because I'm accumulating miles. And they said, well, there's a 3.99% additional charge if you pay by credit card. I said, wait, let me grab a check.
You were going to be charge the additional amount to use your credit card?
Yeah, there would, if you, exactly.
I thought it was the vendor usually. I thought it was the person you were paying.
The person, it was a business. They were doing some work, and I said, okay, here's my credit card. Well, you know, we charge an additional 3.99%.
Oh, because they're passing it along to you. Yeah, wow.
They're passing it along to me. So I said, wait, they were here. And I said, here, let me get a check. And
okay.
I guess they took my check without my driver's license number because they know where I live, you know.
All right, we'll let you go then on that. Terry, join us next Wednesday. You can always reach Terry Savage at terrysavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist. The Money Lady is the author of the book Social Security Horror Stories. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, John.